him. Am I amplified? Good. That's a good thing, you know. I like being the amplified version. Come on. We going to have a good time. You know what I'm going to say, because I'm going to say it until it is manifest. And that is, I want to, you know, God told me, everywhere I go, get the people saying, I see revival. I see revival. Come on. I see revival. Come on. The only hope for this nation, I see revival. Come on. You know, I have a feeling, you know, why do you keep saying that? Because then you start looking. Come on. I see revival. The fields are already ripe unto harvest. I see revival. Come on now. So, you know, I'm going to start off. You can go to Psalm 126. I'm going to have some fun today. At least I always have fun. You know, I always tell people smile increases face value. So, you know, you got a happy pappy. Come on. There's no defeat in this place. There's no defeat in Christ. He always leads us in triumph. We already got the victory. We're not trying to get our healing. Come on. The devil's trying to steal our health. Come on, we need to understand that. You're not trying to get prosperous. The devil's trying to steal your wealth. He's after your inheritance. It's already yours. Come on. It's a whole different way of looking at things, but it's the truth. You know, we're not trying to get God to do anything. He's already done it. He said it's finished. I'm going to start off with a story. I love funny stories that happen in church, at least the ones I can tell in church. You know, but this is a true story. Several years ago, my friend was the first one that started the Master's Commission for Tommy Barnett. And they were doing their Easter Sunday, you know, they have the illustrated sermon. And literally, you know, they had, everything was going well until one of the thieves that were supposed to be on the cross got sick. So Tommy walked in and said, I need a thief. Now, being the prophetic type, I would have just walked down the sanctuary and said, who doesn't tithe? But still, you know, never mind. But, you know, church is full of thieves. But anyway, be nice, that's nice. But my friend was, you know, he said he was desperate. He didn't know where to look. And behind the church, there's a back alley, and there's a drunk walking around, just stumbling. So my friend Ed said, come over here. Come on, we need your help. We need your help. He goes, hey, what do you need, man? He said, come on inside. He said, take off your clothes. Because they had to put the robe on him. If he wasn't drunk, I mean, you know, if he wasn't drunk, he wouldn't have done it, but he did. They threw the robe on him. And they put him up on the cross. They tie him next to the other thief. So here he is. He's on there. He doesn't know what's going on because it's behind a curtain. He didn't know there were thousands of people on the other side of the curtain. So when they pulled the curtain, all during the time Tommy Barnett is reading the Easter story, the one thief in the background is cussing up a storm. He's a blankety blank blank. What's go blankety? And you know the people were looking and say, he's good. That y'all, come on now. That's what a thief would look like. Come on, he good. But the funniest thing in the world is at the very end of the service when Tommy gave the altar call, the thief is saying, "Get me off the cross." He was the first one to come forward to receive Christ. He's now on staff at the church as a staff pastor. But he's the only one. Everyone else sings at the cross when I first saw the light. He sings on the cross when I first saw the light. Come on now. True story. I love stories like that. Only God can do things like that. Come on now. I mean, God doesn't do it the normal way. You know, he doesn't. He doesn't do it the religious way. Come on. Be honest with you, once we got it figured out, it'll do it some way different. You know, let's go to Psalm 126. I honestly believe Psalm 126 is a prophetic word to the church here. This church. in this season. You know, I could have given it, thus saith the Lord, but I thought, man, he already said it. You can actually read it. You know, and there's something powerful about a word in due season. You know, one of my favorite ministers of all time was a man named Dick Mills. He's given me several words over the years, scriptures. Memorized almost the entire Bible. I mean, and he'll walk and see people, and God will give him scriptures for him. Said, this is prophetic towards you. Pretty amazing, you know. He's in heaven today, but I miss him. And I'm still living off some of the words he's given. But Psalm 126:1, when the Lord brought back the captive ones of Zion. He's about ready to turn your captivity. He's about ready to turn your captivity. Come on now. Get ready for him to turn the captivity. And guess what? As soon as he turns the captivity, you'll understand you're going to be like those who dream. What does God say? He said, I'm going to turn your captivity so you can dream again. See, what I found out is when we're not dreaming, we're captive, we're slaves, we're enslaved. You know, what happens is you get so stuck. You know, this is the first generation that's not living the American dream anymore. It has to be restored. You know, every other generation had a dream that if you worked hard and you did certain things, you could expect certain things. And this generation, they don't see opportunity. If you don't see opportunity, come on, you're enslaved, and you stop being able to dream beyond what really is. Come on now. You know, and the crying need for the hour is dreamers. Come on, dreams change everything. Every time God wants to change something, he downloads a dream or a vision into a man or a woman. Come on. I have the privilege every year of speaking on Dr. King's birthday. And, you know, it's funny because I'm in a place where, you know, honestly, I'm one of the few non-African Americans, black, whatever you want to say, people in there, and I'm the speaker. And you know why? Because I'm a dreamer. And what I found out is, you know, thank God for people like Dr. King who had a dream, and because of his dream, everything's changed. You know, it hasn't totally changed yet, but thank God. It's. Guess what? We were stuck until a dreamer came. Come on now. See, what God does is he sends a dreamer. Even if you kill the dreamer, the dream lives on. You can always tell when the dream's from God because the dream always outlives the dreamer. Come on now. Do you hear what I'm saying? You know, and I'm just trying to raise up a generation of dreamers, but they have to get their captivity turned first. And it says, then our mouths were filled with laughter. You know, I believe that, you know, joy is going to come back to the church. I asked God, I said, God, how come the church is so sad? He said, because they're not dreaming anymore. See, one of the things I can say in my life is I've always lived a dream life. I've been a happy man. You know, when I was growing up, I dreamed of playing professional baseball. And guess what? I pursued it, and I got there. At least I got there on one level. But I was pursuing the dream, so I was happy. Guess what? It makes no difference what the outside world is like when you have an inside world. Come on now. When you have a dream on the inside, it doesn't make a difference the circumstance. Everything's light affliction. I always say, you know, losers talk about what they're going through. Winners talk about what they're going to. Because when you're going to something, what you're going through doesn't make a difference. Come on now. That's the power of vision. And you know, I begin to realize in my entire life, you know, when God changed the dream and changed it to preaching and doing what I'm doing today, you know, I got a dream life, I got a dream wife, I have a dream son. You know, I have the capacity to live in a dream house, just haven't bought one yet, but I have the capacity to. You know, I mean, I'm living the dream. And I'm not living just, you know, my dream, I'm living his dream, but his dream and my dream are the same now, because when Jesus is Lord of your life, come on. When you yield to his dream, Father knows best, come on. When his dream becomes your dream, you become part of the dream team. Come on. Amen. And then your mouth is filled with laughter and your tongue with joyful shouting. I found out happy people are dreamers. Happy. If you can't see a bright future, you got a miserable present. Then they said among the heathen, I love it. It's one thing for believers to say God's done great things for you. But when unbelievers look at you, come on. It says the Lord has done great things for you. Come on. I believe it's time that God wants his people to live in such a way that sinners envy us. Come on. They want to know our secret. Come on. They want to know what makes us so happy. They want to know why we don't worry when they worry. They want to know, you know, why we just don't stay down. They don't understand it, you know. I found out something, you know, when the heathens start talking. I won't get the heathen talking about us. You know why? Because when the heathens start talking, they're on their way of not being heathen anymore. All of a sudden, they get jealous, and guess what? God adopts. Hey, you want to be part of the family? Hey, it's easy, 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 easy. Come as you are. You don't even have to clean yourself up. I'm so grateful you don't have to clean the fish before you catch it. That's the problem with most churches. They try to clean the fish before they catch it. Nobody wants to get skinned alive. Come on now. Just come as you are. God clean you up. God will change your desires. Come on. God will give you his grace to say no to certain things. He'll change you. All of a sudden, I just found out I didn't have to work real hard. I just had to yield. Come on now. Everything I worked at, I failed. Everything I yielded to, I succeeded at. Come on now. The Lord has done great things for us, and we're glad, praise God. It says, restore our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap with joyful shouting. What I'm saying on this is, guess what? Your greatest joy and your greatest pain will be the dream God gives you. Why? Because you care. You care. So it's always the greatest joy. It's also your greatest pain. It's the cross that you bear. Jesus didn't say, take up my cross. He already did that. He said, take up your cross. Find your purpose. Find the dream I have for you. Fulfill it. Sometimes you have to endure hardness as a good soldier. And there are seasons of weeping. You go weeping, carrying precious seed. The reason you have the seed is you're believing for harvest. You see something. And it says, you will return. You will return. It didn't say you might. You will return. Carrying the sheaves with you, carrying the fruit with you. See, God's about ready to turn some stuff. Many of us, we've gone through our season of weeping. Weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Come on now. We planted the seed in weeping. We said, God, my heart's attached to this thing. It has to change. That's where I am in revival for this nation right now. I'm one of those priests that's weeping between the porch and the altar over this nation. But I'm also expecting to come. Come on. Rejoicing, rejoicing, rejoicing in the harvest. I'm not weeping just because there's no victory. I'm weeping until people get it. Come on now. Then we'll return. Does this make sense? Something's going to happen. See, Robert Orb said, always remember there are two kinds of people in the world, the realists and the dreamers. The realists know where they're going, but the dreamers have already been there. Think about that. You honestly will never get where you're going until you've already been there. If you haven't been there in your mind, I'll never forget my son. I always bring him up because, you know, he said, Daddy, I'm going to be a president of my own corporation by the time I'm 20. Well, actually, he was president of his own corporation at 19. But he knew. He'd walk around, got a billion-dollar brain. And so, you know, God's given him billion-dollar ideas. It's a God thing. But he's already been there. So when he gets there, he acts like he's been there. I always say, you should act like you've been there. Come on now. I remember Barry Sanders, one of my favorite athletes of all times. I love Barry. He's a big, great football player. But, you know, Barry, a lot of times, you see all these ball players doing little dances in the end zone, and he would always just hand the ball over to the referee. He said, why don't you do little dances? He said, because I've been there before. You know. Yeah, he said, I just expect to be there. You know, it's not like I'm celebrating a one-time event. I've been there before. Come on now. See, I think you should shout when God gives you the dream. So then when it's fulfilled, it's like you're smiling, but you've been shouting all along. You say, yeah, I've been there for a long time. See, this church has been here for a long time. There's a place you've been for a long time. Now, sometimes it gets faded, the vision they gave you, but there's a place you've been for a long time. Don't let go of it. See, the Bible says in Psalm 105, verse 19, until the word of the Lord came to pass, the word of the Lord tested Joseph. Joseph had a dream. The problem with every dream is there's a test that comes right after it. The devil comes immediately, what? To steal that image. To steal that image, the image of the Word of God. To steal the hope, to try to bring you back to his reality because that's where he rules. You get out of the dream realm, you get into the satanic realm where he rules. He rules in natural knowledge. God rules by revelation knowledge. You know? So what he does is he tries to darken people's minds. I mean, I've never been around so many ignorant, smart people in my life when I listen to people talk. I'm thinking, their minds are darkened, and yet they have big vocabularies. You know, I'm thinking, no, you know, I've never seen, I thought, how can they, it's so obvious. But not to them. When your mind's blinded, you can't see anything. But, you know, I found out something with dreamers. You know, they've already been there, and there's a test that comes. See, most people, honestly, they won't hang on to the dream long enough. How long do you hold on to it until it comes to pass? You keep saying, you know, year after year, what do? You keep believing, Why? That's your job description. The job description for a believer is that you believe. I'm always going to believe the best. People say, you never let up. I never let up on people. There's some people, they don't want to hang around me because I'm always going to speak to their potential. I'm never going to speak to where they're at right now. And some people don't like that, but so, you know, because mediocre people are always at their best. Come on. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. You know, most people have a dream but make excuses. Have you ever been around people? One of these days I'm gonna. One of these days I'm gonna. They worship the God of gonna. Come on now. And one of these days they're going to get so old they're gonna. You know. You know, Ecclesiastes 11:4 says, he that looks at the wind is not going to sow. It just basically says if you look for ideal circumstances. Ain't doing nothing. You know, the time to start walking towards a dream is the moment you see it. You may not be able to do much more than take a step, but take a step. Then God will give you the ability to take another step. Come on now. You hear what I'm saying? You know, when I dreamed of playing professional baseball, I still had to play little league ball. I coach pitch. I had to do all those things, and yet I never saw myself there. I saw myself in the major leagues. Then 13 years later, you know, I'm in a situation facing the number one strikeout king of all time, Nolan Ryan. And people say, what did it feel like to face a major league pitcher? I said, I've been here for 13 years. I'd already been there. When I preached before thousands of people the first time, I'd been there for years. You know, see, we've already been places we haven't been yet. Come on now. And the moment you stop doing that, you'll never get there. Come on. Hold on to that. Hold on to the dreamy nature of God. You're going to be just like God. He's a dreamer. Pearl Buck says, the young do not know enough to be prudent. And they attempt the impossible and achieve it, generation after generation.
I believe that. I remember, you know, when we were part of Victory Christian Center, you know, and we still are, but when we were part of the beginning stages, we were all young and stupid. Come on now. We didn't know what couldn't be done. Our pastor wasn't, he wasn't a theology major. I was, he wasn't. He was a phys ed major. Took one religious ed class. And in that class, they said, if you had an ideal church, what would you do? What does an ideal church look like? He wrote down 110 ministries. 110 ministries that he would have in an ideal church. Then when he was installed at Sheridan Assembly, that became Sheridan Christian Center, that was turned into Victory Christian Center, the first thing he did is he had 200 people and he started 110 ministries. All 110. Crazy. Absolutely insane. Can't work, but God didn't know it. He didn't know it because he didn't go to the classes. He didn't go where they told you it couldn't be done. So all of a sudden, we just started doing stuff and doing stuff and doing stuff. And the next thing you know, at the end of the year, we had 2,400 people. And then the next year, we had 4,400 people. And now we have about 14,000 people. And just, you know, we have 1,600 Bible schools throughout the world. We didn't know. We were young. We better start getting younger. You know, young people, no matter how old you are, when you're really young, you don't know. You don't know. You are actually living while everyone else is telling you can't be done. It's the Chinese proverb, you know. The man who says it cannot be done shouldn't stop the man doing it. Come on now. Think about that. Just recently, my stepmom, I'll never forget her 80th birthday because she, you know, I've got, you know, my siblings, my stepbrothers, stepsisters, even my brother called me and said, you got to talk mom out of it. I always laugh when they say talk mom out of it. I didn't even know what it was. When they hung up, said talk her out of it. Another one said, tell mama not to do it. I never could find out what it was. So I called her up. She said, you can't talk me out of it. I said, you're right. I don't know what it is. She said, I'm going to jump out of a plane. I said, with a parachute? She said, yes, dummy. She said, I always wanted to do that, but your dad would never allow me to do it. I said, I told him not to take you to that movie. I said, why do you want to? He said, I always wanted to. I've always, you know, for years I've seen myself jumping out of a plane with a parachute. I said, do you know that's dangerous? She said, I know where I go. If I die, I go to heaven. What's so wrong with that? She said, I don't want to die. I want to live. I said, jump, mama, jump. You know, come on now. This year she turned 85, so she jumped again. She doesn't know. She doesn't know. Don't tell her. She leads in the aerobics class. She does. I mean, it's just, you know, she doesn't know. You know, I'm not telling her. I'm not. She's a lot more fun. When I get around people my age, I got to get around young people again. I do. Because most of them is like, come on. He said, well, you know, what I found out is people get old when they have no vision, they have no dream. When God gave Abraham a dream and showed them the stars of the sky and said, so shall your offspring be. First thing he did was start chasing that woman around the house again. He got young, and every good woman likes to be chased. I say, if you're married just because you caught her, don't stop chasing her. Because if you don't, if you won't watch it, you'll get old together. I don't want to get old together. I want to stay young together. Come on. When you first get married, it's puppy love. If you don't work at it, it's going to be dog eat dog before long. So stay in the puppy stage. Come on. See, what I've learned, you know, George Eliot, I love what he said. He says, it's never too late to be what you might have been. Think about that. See, one of the things about dreaming is you're going to have to learn to be yourself. Luke 4:18, what did Jesus say? The Spirit of the Lord's upon me. This one, something God showed me. He said, tell my people I give them permission to be themselves. He said, one of the greatest dangers in the world is when you try to be something you're not, because you're not anointable. You're only anointable as an original. You're not anointable as a copy. Spirit of the Lord's upon me. That's why, you know, with my son, I didn't want him to live my dream. I wanted him to live God's given dream for him. People would come and they prophesy, you're going to be a preacher just like your dad. I want to slap those people. I said, I don't want him to be me. I want him to be him. I want him to fulfill what God has for him. You know, I mean it'd be a waste of his intellect to do what I do. Because I talk to people like you.
No, love you, Woody.
No, get real, get real, get real. Guess what? I don't understand a word my son says. I'm just glad he lives in his zone. Come on now. I said, bring it down. He said, that's as low as I go, Daddy. We used to go to science fairs. And the one thing he would say, he said, Daddy, whatever you do, don't say a word. He said, I got a scripture for you, Daddy. It's from Proverbs. You know, I believe it was either 17 or 8. I think it's the end of 17. He said, even when a fool keeps silent, he's considered wise. He said, so don't talk. Well, I found out that was pretty wise things, you know, because everyone thought I was smart. Because he's my son. Yeah, I taught him everything I know about God. Yeah, come on now. You know. See, most kids think they're smarter than their parents. The moment he was born, he was. But see, how many of you understand, what did Paul say? I am what I am by the grace of God. I am what I am by the grace. Everyone has personal grace. That grace causes you to work harder than you all, but not you, but the grace within you. What does that mean? It means when you're in your gifting area, you're not really working. You may spend more time at it than anyone else, but you're going to do it anyway because that's who you are. It's who you are. That's what you got to do. Impression without expression leads to depression. What does that mean? When you hold in the grace of God and don't express it, it causes you to have depression. And the greatest joy is expressing grace. Come on. Hallelujah. You reign by your own personal, because of the gift of righteousness and the grace, you reign in this life. Most people don't reign in this life because they don't ever tap into their personal grace. They're not living their dream. See, your grace is where your dream is. Come on now. Hallelujah. Everyone, you can see in your zone. You can't see in anyone else's zone. You can see in your zone. That's why I'm blind to most other things, but I know what I see. Come on now. That's my area. Come on. I can see in my area. Then I need other seers in other areas because I'm blind in those areas. Come on. It's okay. God gives you permission. Does this make sense? And you know, I found out if you're going to dream, it's going to start off, you know, when you first meet God, the first thing you do is he introduces you to his love. Perfect love casts out fear. So the first thing that happens is you experience the love of God and you start loving God because he first loved you. But then if you keep walking with him, you'll start loving you. That's the next thing he wants you to do. He wants you to be so in love with you that you're able to love others. Because you love others as you love yourself. See, when you're in love with yourself, you're not selfish. You're usually selfish when you're insecure about yourself. You know, I love me. I tell people, I say, I am a happy man. I get to be with me every day. I wake up, I'm there. Whoa, I have conversations with me, and they're intelligent conversations. I mean, I love being with me, and you, And I love being with God. They're the two constants in my life. God never leaves me or forsakes me, and I'm always there. And when you love both, you're a happy man. You love your life. Why? Because, and you know you're a jerk, but you're a lovable jerk. Come on now. That's called grace. That's called grace. You understand. You know, you understand your quirks. But, you know, I found out God uses my quirks. Hallelujah. And if you can't laugh at yourself, you can't love yourself, you can't love others. Depression is hating yourself, because if you're not, you know, if you hate yourself, if you're not there, you're not there. So you can't get rid of yourself. If you get rid of yourself, that's wrong. But to hate yourself is just equally as wrong, because God loves you. So you're trying to, you're saying, hey, God, even though you love me, I count my value of myself above your value of me. Come on. So one of the things, people say, you're always trying to get people to love themselves. I say, yeah, because I want them to love me. Biggest problem is we love our neighbors ourselves, so we hate our neighbor because we hate ourselves. Do you hear what I'm saying? See, you got to understand something. You may succeed in life if no one else believes in you, but you'll never succeed if you don't believe in you. Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks within himself, so is he. You know, if I can't get people to believe, you say, we have the stupid wrong image. We got to start seeing ourselves as more than a conqueror. We have to see ourselves as a can-do people. I heard Joyce Meyer say years ago, if miracles came in cans, we'd all go to the grocery store and buy as many cans as possible. And miracles do come in cans. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can. See, you know, we're part of the can-do family. Can-do. Come on, we're doers. Come on. I mean, we've been actually created for good works. We're created to do good. We're created to be a do-gooder. Come on. See, lead your life instead of just accepting your life. That's what dreamers do. They allow the dream to discipline their lives to conform to the dream. I found out you don't make the dream. The dream comes from God. But guess what? The dream will make you. God will show you something. You're not there yet. Guess what? If you hold on to it, you'll grow into it. You'll grow into it. God will give you a picture and see if you'll buy into the picture. So I believe every church should be a dream center. A place where dreams come true, not nightmares. God has plans. He is in the plan. There's a future and a hope. What does God say? I got a dream. I dreamed of you before you ever were born. I actually put a picture on the inside of you. If you ever discover that picture, hold on to that picture, you will manifest that picture to the world, and the glory of God will be revealed. Come on. Oh. You know, when you develop a dream culture in the church where you actually teach people to see, expect to see. My son, he said, you know, I'm a seer on my level, and my son, well, it's amazing because he'll go to places, and I've listened to corporate presidents say he can see what no one else can see. And he said, how do you invent things? I never invent anything. It's always been here, Daddy, but I position myself to see what no one else can see. You can position yourself to see. You have to believe, though. If you believe, you'll see. And you know something? You can't see in a different realm, so you have to recognize your grace and say, this is my area of seeing. Come on now. This is my area of seeing. I love being around seers because seers produce seers. Come on now. I love being around visionaries because, you know, when you get two people pregnant, come on, pregnant by vision. They're pregnant. You get around there, the babies start leaping. It's just like, you know, Jesus and John the Baptist when they were Elizabeth and Mary got together. It said the baby leaped in the womb. There was something that causes a leap. I love getting around people. I get around business. I may not understand anything they're saying, just like my son. But when I get in that zone, it's like, yeah, I belong in a seeing zone. I belong. I don't. There's no blindness here. You must be born again to see the kingdom of God. You must be born again to see. The number one calling of a Christian is to see. And the Holy Ghost will show you things to come. He'll give you a picture of what it's going to be like and make sure you get it. See, what happens is when you lead your life, it means taking an active leadership with yourself. It's called self-control. Anyone that doesn't have control over their spirit is going to be enslaved to everything. You're like a city where the wall's broken down and people have invaded. So one of the things that God does when he gets, when, you know, self-esteem and self-control should actually come together. Some people want to teach self-esteem without self-control, and guess what? It doesn't work because they keep failing without self-control. And they'll never succeed without self-esteem. They're actually twins. But it has to be God's esteem and that causes self-esteem. Seen through God's eyes. Come on. But you know, people, when you don't take responsibility, you really, you know what responsibility is? It's a response to God's ability. That's why faith is responsible. Why? Grace is the ability of God. Our response to the ability of God is faith. So faith is to live by faith is the only responsible thing to do because you're responding to God's ability. Anything else is irresponsible. That's why whatsoever is not of faith is sin because it's irresponsible. Come on. See, run your race, not someone else's race. Run your race. I always tell people, you know, I love the end of Paul's life in 2 Timothy 4:7. He said, my race, I ran it. That's what it says in the Greek. My race, I ran it. My fight, I fought it. Not all of us have the same fights. Not all of us have the same races. We just have the same father. Come on. But your race. I love what it says. When you run a race, you know, if you sprint, if you pull, you know, it was they start off by on your mark, not someone else's mark. On your mark, get set, go. As long as you stay in your lane, you don't get disqualified. The moment you get out of your lane, you're disqualified. That's why it says run the race with endurance. Look it unto Jesus. Keep straight. Keep focused. Don't get out of focus. Run your race. With endurance, you know, you see Saul, and Saul was doing okay. He made a lot of mistakes, but one of the biggest mistakes happened when after David and Saul came back from defeating the Philistines. He hears these women sing, and see, you understand, so he wasn't jealous of David until he heard the song. And, you know, you talk about rubbing it in. Come on now. I mean, you know, you weren't expecting to hear this. It's the number one song playing all throughout. Oh, yeah. You know. Saul has killed his thousands. But David has killed his tens of And from that moment on, the Bible says, and in 1 Samuel, I believe, yeah, I think it's the 19th chapter, said from that moment on, Saul looked at David differently. From that moment on, he got out of his lane. He started looking in a different lane. If you compare yourselves by yourselves, you're not wise. If you start looking at someone else's race and get out of your race, you're not wise. Stay in your lane. Stay in your zone. Come on now. Stay on your assignments. Come on. You know? Run your race. You only have grace for your race. You don't have grace for anyone else's race. There's grace in your lane. It's your zone. All I try to do is get people in their zone. You know, love what you do and do what you love. That's what I always tell people. I said, love what you do. And do what you love. John 5:19 said Jesus only did what he saw the Father doing. Only did what he saw. See, do. See, do. Come on now. It's not just one of those little things that rides on the water. See, do. It's a scriptural principle. What you see, you can do. If you can't just see it, you can't do it. I don't care. If you can't see yourself doing it, you'll never do it. Years ago, I have a friend that pastors the largest church in Tulsa. We're the second largest church, and we got 14,000. Big churches in Tulsa. But his name is Willie George, Gospel Bill. And I'll never forget because he tells this story. And so, I always think it's hilarious when he tells it because of his history, because of his history making. But when he was 19 years old, he felt a call to the ministry, and he went to the pastor, he said, Pastor, I feel a call to the ministry. Do you have anything I can do? He said, the only thing we have is children's church. He said, I don't like kids. He said, what? He said, no, Pastor, don't get me wrong. I love children, but I can't relate. We don't relate at all. I have no ability to relate to kids. Pastor said, pray about it. That's all we got. He said, and he had sent them home with a manual, you know, the little Sunday school manual. And he went home and he read that thing. He's yawning while he's reading. He said, there's no way. There's no way I can teach this. And the Lord said, Willie, what do you like? He said, well, I like cowboy stuff. I love westerns. I love, you know, I've always wanted to have a little town, and I always wanted to be a sheriff. I've always seen myself as a sheriff. And the Lord said, do it. He said, do what? He said, build the set. Teach the children faith using what you know, the cowboy theme. And he said, you can even be the sheriff. You can be Gospel Bill, Sheriff Bill Gunter. You can be the sheriff. Teach them faith. And he looked and he said, I can do that. He said, I'd love to do that. And the rest is history. I mean, Dry Gulch, I mean, millions of kids have learned faith through Gospel Bill. There's still Dry Gulch, USA, which was the town he built. Now it's the campgrounds out in Oklahoma where thousands of kids come every year to learn faith. He even has a steam engine out there. Because recently, I mean, it was about 10 or 15 years ago, the Lord said, he said, okay, Willie, what do you have you always wanted that you don't have? He said, I've always wanted a steam engine. He's still a little kid. He said, what are you going to do with a steam engine? He said, I would like to have the whole life of Jesus portrayed. And we'll call it, he said, I'd like to have a Christmas train where thousands of people will just ride a train and see all these pictures and a story of Jesus being told as they ride in a steam engine and they partake of the old town, the old western town with the western themes. The Lord said, do it. And every year they have 50,000 people ride the Christmas train. And you know, a lot of people get born again there. And some people get upset because there is a smoking area there. It's the graveyard. So Willie has a way of just getting it in there, but still, hey! But you know why he's a success? Because he didn't do something that he couldn't see. He's done things he could see. And you'll be a success when you do what you can see. Come on now. Last thing, and I'm going to pray for you. This okay this morning? Because we're going to continue tonight. We're going to shift it a little deeper tonight. But this is okay. I'm going to have some fun today. Pastor's not here. We're going to have fun. Just tell, man, you missed it. Oh, you missed it. I love it. It was the best service ever, Pastor. No, you know, even if you have to lie, just tell them. No. God will forgive you. And I'm just kidding, Lord. Come on. Well, my final thing, some of you have heard this. You know, when I first got saved, my first vision was my whole family serving God. Acts 16:31 said, both you and your household shall be saved. And I could see it. And I was the first one in my family. And you know, we had like 99 relatives. I was the only Christian. So I started praying. I said, God, both me and my household shall be saved. And the Lord had me center in my dad, because how many of you understand, every family, you have one, you either see your matriarchal or patriarchal, but there's usually one relative. You get that one relative, you got the family. Now, I knew my dad was one of the leading attorneys in America. I always said he was a professional sewer. My dad was a genius. He actually had, my son's a genius. It does skip generations, but my dad had a doctorate from Columbia Law School at age 18. Went to Princeton, went to Columbia. My dad actually studied under Albert Einstein as the only non-scientific or math person of the, they called it the 13. Weird. I mean, he's brilliant. I never understood my dad until I had my son. Be honest with you. But the bottom line is, you know, I prayed for my dad because, you know, it's hard for a wealthy man, and he was a wealthy man, to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's very hard for an intellectual to enter the kingdom of heaven because faith is not of the head, it's of the heart. If you can't see your need, you know. But one day I was praying, and my dad called me. My dad never called me. He always had his people call me. But this time my dad called me, and he said, take a deep breath, and my mom had committed suicide. And he, you know, for the first time in his life, he couldn't make it, write a check and make it go, the pain go away. He couldn't read a book. And he said, I don't know any preachers. And at that time, I was doing Fellowship Christian Athlete things with teenagers. I was in the Cincinnati Reds organization. And, you know, I had never preached to adults before. He said, will you preach your mom's funeral service? The first time I ever preached in an adult service was my mom's funeral service. And it was like the event, because, you know, it's a social event. We had dignitaries there. We had professional opera singers there. It's different. And, you know, I prayed, and I was really upset because I said, Lord, you said both me and my household, my mom, you know. And before I got a chance to preach, I talked to a chaplain. He said, you know, your mom overdosed, and we pumped her stomach, and for 30 minutes she was fine. He said, I got a chance to pray with her. He said, I just want to let you know that she prayed the prayer to receive Christ. So that made it easier to preach. And at that service, my dad got radically saved. Radically. 30 other people got radically saved. It's pretty awesome. But then he said, I want to go to church with you. There's a reason I'm sharing this, because you're that type of church. Amen. And see, I was praying. I said, God, when my daddy gets saved, where do I take him to church? I didn't want him to take him to my church. I wanted him to go to the church that was sort of charismatic, you know, thumbs up. They had a parking lot full of Mercedes and Cadillacs and professional people, where Dr. So-and-so was the pastor. My problem was our pastor wasn't Dr. So-and-so. Our pastor couldn't spell doctor. Our pastor probably couldn't spell D-R. He was from Italy. We had two services, one in Italian, one in English. They both sounded alike. You know, we didn't have a parking lot. We had policemen that looked at the three cars that were out there, so they'd still be out there at the end of the service. We had a guard dog that lived in the church, that he would live in the office because that's where the thieves would try to come in. And there was, you know, there was a chimney in the office, so many times in the middle of preaching, you'd hear the guard dog barking, and you know a thief was in the office, and you had to go rescue the thief because the guard dog would chase it up the chimney. It was inner city ministry, you know. So my dad said he wants to go to church with me. So I pray all night. I said, Lord, my daddy's coming tomorrow. Don't start with him. You haven't been speaking to us lately in the gifts. Don't start tomorrow. Lord, you know the pastor's not very bright. Let him wax eloquent. Let him use more than one syllable words. And Lord, you know about Sister Chicken Walk. Every time the Holy Ghost hits that woman, she's everywhere. Woo! I said, there's a 24-hour virus going around. Don't kill her, but keep her away. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, the Bible says if you ask anything according to his will, he hears you. So you didn't hear a word I said. I told my dad, I said, we're going early to church. Why? Because how many of you know everyone's territorial? They always sit in the same seats. I don't care how big the church is. You can have, you know, because I go to 14,000 members, I always sit in the same seat. In fact, it bugs me, and I'm not there that often, but when somebody's in my seat, oh, because I marked it, I rubbed my scent into that seat. I mean, you know, when they're there, I just go by and just sniff, like, come on. You know, just the way it is, man. And, you know, so I wanted to get to church early because Sister Chicken Walk always sat in the middle, and I wanted to sit in the front so my daddy wouldn't see her do her thing. On the way to church, my dad said, this is going to be a wild church like a Southern Baptist. I said, I hope so. Never really wanted to be a Southern Baptist until that Sunday. But, you know, during the service, everything was going good until the service started. Sister Chicken Walk was late because she was doing stretching exercises for the move she was going to do that day. When she walks in, she walks right by her seat, doesn't even sniff. It's empty. She walks up to me, gives me a hug as though I care. She said, I feel led to sit with you today. I want to hit her with some lead. So, honestly, I'm on one side. Sister Chicken Walk's in the middle, and my dad's on the other side. All during worship, I'm pretending I'm singing. But I'm saying, make her stop. That's really what I'm doing. Underneath my breath, make her. And every time I do that, she'd get hit with another, woo, 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 and my dad's just staring at her. That morning, everyone had a tongue. Everyone had interpretation. Everyone had a prophecy, some real, some false. But God wasn't speaking before my dad showed up, so he had a lot to say that morning. Then three men jump on this little lady. They cast the devil out of her. We never had deliverance until my daddy showed up. By the time the preacher got up to preach, I stopped praying. It wasn't working. So I just crossed my fingers behind my back. I said, eloquent, Lord, eloquent. Pastor said, you'll never forget my message. I never have. He said, today, church, I want to talk about being heirs of God. I said, no. I want to put a little sign that said silent H, silent H. But he said, no, we are heirs of God, church. We are joint heirs with Christ. I was waiting for the split ends. He said, we need to live as clean heirs, washing in the water of God's word. And I'm staring. My dad is president of the board, you know, the bar association, top medical attorney probably in the world, professor emeritus at Columbia Law School, one of the leading intellectuals in America listening to the hairs of God. Oh. And I knew, at least I knew the service was ending because the pastor started crying. In that particular denomination, you can't preach unless you cry. It's in the book. I believe that's why women don't wear makeup in that denomination. I just... He starts crying. He says, sometimes, church, a hair backslides. Are you one of God's missing hairs? I say, he got God going bald. That's all I'm thinking about. So we're driving home. I mean, it's a miracle because I'm silent. What do you say? After about 15 minutes, my dad looks over me and said, that was different. I said, yes, sir, it was. He said, you know, that preacher's not very smart. I said, yeah, I'm kind of aware of that. I'm more aware than I ever have been. He said, but there was a different spirit in the place. I said, what? He said, what's he preaching on Wednesday night? I said, you go, and he said, I wouldn't miss this for anything. I mean, he was within a month, he's on the organ, the Sister Chicken Walks Walk. You know, I mean, he becomes the organ player in the church. He's on the board of the church. He buys him a different building so he can have a parking lot. But, you know, hey! You know? And then God spoke to me. He said, when you're ashamed of your church, you're ashamed of your God. It was good enough for you. Why didn't you think it was good enough for him? Then the Holy Spirit messed me up because it changed me forever. He said, you're not ashamed of the Father. You're not ashamed of the Son. But when someone you cared about was coming, you asked me not to express myself. He said, son, if you ever do that again, I'll never express myself in your presence again. So I'll be honest, I'll offend everyone else. I won't offend the Holy Ghost. If I think it's the Spirit of God, we're going to go with it. If it might be the Spirit of God, we're going to go with it. Come on now, I'm just being honest with you. Hey, if I'm not sure, we're going to go with it. I'd much rather err on that side. Come on. You know, I said, hey, you always welcome Holy Ghost. You know, we're not going to be one of those churches. They're going to kick out the Holy Ghost in order to get people. Because the people aren't going to get anything without the Holy Spirit. Come on now. So we're going to say, come on, Holy Ghost. And I hope it doesn't get too flaky, but you know, sometimes flaky's fun. You know, every one of you has a really, you got a little wild you trapped inside. You do, man. You do. You know, it's like, you know, your toes get to tap, and you know, because you know you're dancing on the inside. I used to always dance on the outside. Now I kind of dance on the inside because my dancer on the outside doesn't work as well as it used to. But but I'm still dancing. Come on now. I'm still running through a troop, leaping over the wall. It's just, you know, at least on the inside. Come on. Hey, it's a happy place. I want every head bowed, no one looking around, so if you fall asleep, you can have a dream this morning. Some of you have a dream of Eden, so let's get this over with so you can have your dream fulfilled. I found out stomach growling is not heavy intercession. That's what people think. Groans that can't be other. Is there anyone here today, you say, man, I want to get back to that dream stage. I want to get back. I think I know everyone else, you know, in here, but how many of you say, I got to get back to dreaming again? Dreaming, living the dream, living the dream, living the dream. Some of you, honestly, you know, don't get stuck in this reality. Don't get totally stuck there. Come on now. We live in two realms. You know, I honestly, I have to walk in a natural realm, but I got a dream realm that I live in. You know, I walk in the Spirit, so I don't fulfill the lust of this realm. Come on now. See, your vision will keep you. How many of you say, hey, I want to live the dream? Some of you may say, I want to see the next dream. Because sometimes you're at the end of one chapter, and you're trying to figure out what the next chapter. Some of you this morning, you have a dream of health. It's a promise. It's already yours, but you want it fulfilled. It's a tree of life when it's fulfilled. It's great to believe for healing. It's a whole lot easier just to walk in health. And I'm grateful for that moment when that thing kicks, when it kicks, and it manifests like, well, how sweet it is. You know, I get a chance now. I honestly do get a chance to run almost every day because I couldn't at one time. One time I couldn't even walk. So when I run because I can. I had to see myself running when I couldn't walk. You know, I've had doctors tell me one thing, and I decided to go with the picture. See, there are two x-rays, the one they took and the one God showed me. The one they took said, this ain't correctable. The one God said, hey, you look at this. You looking good, man. You looking good. I decided to go with the good one. You know. So I never act my age. Why? Because God's ageless. You know, God's forever young. You can't hang around God and get old. You can't. You can't. He'll keep renewing your youth. Keep renewing your youth. He'll always put that little silly grin on your face. He'll get, you know, you'll always be in the dream stage. You don't ever stop living when you hang around God because he's full of life. But how many of you today, you need a healing, you need a breakthrough, you need a dreamer. I want to pray for you real quick. If that's you, come on up. Real quick. Come on. Can you do that? When I say you need a healing, I just need a manifestation. You already got the healing. You need the manifestation. You know, I want you to understand that. We're not trying to get God to do anything. He already did it all, but we're just trying to get things manifest. Let's believe God for that breakthrough. Let's believe God for this. Let's believe God that we'll be a dreaming generation. Let's believe God. Come on now. This is our season. There's a breakthrough up here. Might as well, with this is your revival. Come on. God said, I'm for you. I'm not against you. I'm about ready to break things wide open. Come on. I've already showed you on the inside what's going to manifest on the outside. I've already showed it to you. You've already seen it in one realm. And if you haven't, God's going to download something into you today. Come on, a better future. So Lord, just lift your hands up. Start thanking Him. It's a done deal. It's a done deal. You're part of God's dream team. And I release that healing virtue now in the name of Jesus. I declare, God, your dream for her and her family will come to pass in Jesus' name. Awaken the dreamer. Father, I thank you, God, how sweet it is. Lord, they've been holding on to the precious seed. They've actually planted it. And God, now they're believing. They're going to come back with their manifestations. Because it's already theirs. Thank you for your healing virtue. Thank you for the breakthrough. Thank you. You renew their strength. There it is. That's the power and the anointing of God. Watch out now. That thing's hitting right now. Hitting right now. Oh. That's the Holy Ghost stuff. Oh. Thank you for breakthrough. You got leadership in your bones. You're a mover. You're a shaker. If it doesn't move, you move it.
Yes.
Get you in trouble at times.
Yes.
That's all right.
Yes.
God said, just be who you are. I've anointed you.
Yes, yes, Lord.
There,
thank you, Lord.
Let that freshness come all over you.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
And I found that, God will, he will temper our gifts. Where we'll say, okay, keep it in this realm, keep it in the lane, keep it focused. And that's what God's doing. He's just helping you focus your gift. And that thing He's promised you, it's yours.
Yes.
How many of you are ready for suddenly, everything changes suddenly. Suddenly, it's a suddenly season. Come on now. That dreamer's coming alive. That strength is coming back. That anointing's beginning to flow. I showed it to you. I will perfect it. Take another dose of that Holy Ghost. Oh, thank you for your creative miracle. Thank you for your power. Thank you for the dreams coming alive. Thank you for the seeds you've placed on the inside of Him, Father. Thank you for the giftings and the talents and the abilities. Thank you for making a way where there is no way. We release that now in Jesus' name. You might as well dream big. It costs us nothing to dream. It costs us everything not to. See, He wants us to be like little kids again. Just little kids. That simplicity, because we're happy when we're in our zone. And you just love serving. And you love touching. And you love helping. And you're at your best when you say, yeah, God, when I just love me, I'm able to love others. And that just, this is a new freshness coming all over you. And you're just going to be such a blessing because God said, I've blessed you and I'm going to make you such a blessing. And I'm going to take care of those things that concern you. Amen. He said, I'm going to fill some areas where you feel a void. I'm going to fill them in Jesus' name. See, what I found out is God has a way. He has a way of making up. Come on now. He has a way. Oh. Father, I just thank you. The dream is alive. I thank you. You're turning the captivity of this people.
Yes.
I thank you, God, that you're working in Deb strong. Yes. You're working in Gordon health and strength right now.
Yes.
God, you know. You know what I've shown you guys. It's your assignment. And you're just the right age to do it.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, you're getting stronger every day. Not in your strength, but in mine. It's now a grace takeover thing. It's a grace takeover thing. Many times we've worked our faith, but we haven't worked our faith in grace. And what happened is our faith didn't work because it has to be attached to God's ability. When we know it's done, we can do it. And it's a fulfilled season of your life. It's just time to dream big again. Dream big, dream big, dream big. He's had so many things fulfilled now. You've seen things begin to change. Well, that whole captivity stuff is turning. Oh, you know, head and not the tail now, above and not beneath. It's going to be so much fun, it's ridiculous. And you know what's going to be fun? It's going to be fun when you watch your loved ones on top. Come on now. They used to be down and out. Now they're up and coming. We release that anointing now. And your prayers, they play the big role. And God, I'm not through with you. I'm just about ready to give you a second wind. And watch what I'll do, declares God. Because you're beginning to understand kingdom stuff. You're beginning to understand grace stuff. You're beginning to understand that literally it's bringing heaven to earth. And it's not by your efforts, not by your power, but by my spirit, declares God. I'm going to download images of health and strength. I'm going to download them until they affect everything. That's the kingdom thing. God begins to give you a kingdom image, and all of a sudden it goes from the inside to the outside. Strength comes back. Anointing comes back. God's working it. Come on now. Enemy tried his best shot. He couldn't take you out. Stronger and better than ever before. Stronger and better than ever before. In fact, the new you is getting newer all the time. You might as well get ready. You dream again, dream again, dream again. You know what? God's giving you strength to dream again. It's like, God, I'm getting my life back. I'm going to get my little stride back. I'm going to get my little strut back. I'm going to get my little attitude back. You know, there's good toots, by the way. There are bad ones and good ones. We get rid of the bad ones, but the good ones, we start taking on. Oh, yeah, there's a fighter on the inside of you now that's going to say, devil. You know, before you just lay down when things happen. Now you rise up. It's a whole different season. You have changed. You have changed. And the glory of God's been on you guys. One can put 1,000 to flight. Two can put 10,000 to flight. Everything's changing. Instead of fighting against each other, you're fighting with each other against the enemy. Something's beginning to change stronger than ever before. Get ready and dream big. Get ready and dream big. Come, why not see our dreams come to pass? You know, I found out something. Like, we're happy when we're dreaming. And we're getting to that happy place, that anointed place. You love it. You love it. You love it. You say, God, I love your presence.
Yes,
thank you. God, when you fall, heaven falls on me.
Yes, Lord.
I got a taste of heaven. I taste and see. The Lord's good. I taste and see.
Yes.
And the more you taste, the more you see. And the more you see, the more you want to taste.
Hallelujah. Yes, praise.
Yes, amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Being a glutton for God is the best thing going.
No.
Flutter, yeah. Lord. Woo. Can't have too much God.
No.
He's the God of too much anyway.
Oh, yeah.
You're about ready to catch an overflow. You got it. Whoa. We're getting to our happy place. That anointing's that happy place.
Yes,
we release that anointing now.
Yes,
in the
Lord.
Name of Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
Oh.
Hallelujah.
Whoa, happy church.
Thank you, Lord.
Happy people. Happy are the people whose God is the Lord.
Yes.
Strength, healing.
Yes.
Working through you guys. This is your season now.
Hallelujah.
Everything will line up to the word of God.
Yes.
Everything will line up to the word of God.
Yes.
Oh, we release that now. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus.
God.
Not by our power, not by our might, but by the Spirit of God.
Yes.
There it goes. Oh. Oh, these people are contagious. Yeah, there's another contagious guy.
Yeah.
Oh, you caught it. Everywhere you go, you spread the God germ. Oh, yeah, it's contagious. It's called revival. Contagious. It's in your bones. Everything's changed. The way you look at life, the way you walk, the way you talk. And every time you even try to go back, God just said, stay in your lane, stay in your lane. Some of you, God just saying, don't get ahead of me because it's good. I'm going to do it suddenly. I'm going to do it quickly. There's an anointing.
Yes.
Not by our power, not by our might, but by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
The dream's alive. The dream is well. The anointing's moving again.
Yes.
Things I've promised, they're yours. They're yours. They're yours. I release that anointing from the top of the head to the bottom of the feet. I declare, God, your word is true. I declare, God, the picture on the inside will be manifest on the outside. You might as well get excited. You might as well get excited. Oh, God said, do I got a good surprise for you?
Right.
Suddenly, it's like, Yeah, you know, when you see what God shows you, you get a silly grin on your face. It's like, God, that's so good. When, Lord, when? He said, soon, very soon. He said, you know, sometimes we're like one step away, soon and very soon. It's already ours, but soon and very soon. What we believe we receive, we shall have. Soon and very, there it is. I love when suddenly comes. I love when the package actually comes to our doorstep. I like the fact I know it's in the mail, but when it arrives, you're about ready to unwrap something. It's going to change everything. Come on now. It's going to change everything. See, salvation is a package deal. So God sends packages that have salvation in them. And we unwrap the benefits. Oh, there's the anointing right there. Your dreamer's going back off again. See, God's just going, he's going to take us out of the natural into that realm of the spirit where everything looks good. There it is. There's a bright future. There's a bright hope. You guys have so much favor on you, it's ridiculous. Come on now. You have so much favor. God said, hey. You know you're his favorites. You know it. That's why. That's why doors are open for you. That's why. They don't know why they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It's the favor factor. It's all over your lives. God said, you need to see that you're living that dream. Sometimes we get caught in it and it becomes our new norm. You know, what I'm living in today is what I dreamed of 30 years ago. Now I got new dreams, and sometimes I'll be walking where I am right now and get a little frustrated. God said, why are you frustrated? You're still living your dream. It's just now everyone else can see you're living your dream. Now you have something they can't see. Well, you're walking towards the next dream while you're living your dream now. And that's what God's doing. He's fulfilling things. He's strengthening things, and he's opening up doors, and it's going to be so much fun. It's ridiculous. And all he's doing is tapping into the grace level that's already on you guys, because grace is favor. God said, I've just graced you with abilities and talents. I've graced you. And you know something? He said, grace always has rewards attached to it. So he said, I begin to reward you, and you're able to bless others because you've been rewarded. And one of the greatest things in your life is when you can be a conduit for God. When God brings things to you, brings things through you, you got the ability to see things other people can't see. It's just your zone. You know it. You walk in and say, man, I haven't been trained in this, but I can see. You know, people that hire my son, they say, one of the first things they say is, we're so grateful no one trained him. You know, he's one of the few heads of anything that's never been mentored. And it's not that he didn't want a mentor. He just didn't have one. So he had to depend on God to mentor him. That's kind of where you are. You know, you have people that have helped you along the way, but guess what? God gave you the ability to see. And that ability to see is what's opened everything. It's your zone. It's your zone. Stay in your zone. You guys run your race. And, you know, your race is a happy place. So just enjoy. Enjoy the benefits of your zone. That's what grace is. Too many people, you know, they're running their race without enjoying it. What? That's stupid. Enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. God just saying, enjoy. Just be yourself, but be your anointed self. Is that okay? Well, I'm going to hand it back, I think, to you. I don't know who to give it to, since if I gave it to Gordon, it would be a long time. Now, everyone say, hey, Pastor, you missed it. No.